or directed my thoughts to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in preparation for partaking of the Lord's table. I don't know about you, but I never want this to simply go through the motions or a ritual. It really has everything to do with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the seriousness with which we partake. Eyes be on Christ and Christ alone. Now, there are those, as what happened in the Corinthian church, that believed the message of grace, would have embraced the truth that it's through the shed blood of Christ alone that we're saved. And yet they used that as a reason for licentiousness. Like some you run into today, that whenever sin is brought up, they say, well, it's all under the blood. It's their attitude toward it makes you quake and wonder, what have they ever learned? Because anybody that's been taught of the Lord doesn't take the blood of Christ lightly. Such was the case here in 1 Corinthians 5. Paul says it's reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles. Here it was that one should have his father's wife, and likely one of the leaders. And he says, ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. So, where the truth of grace is preached, it's not to use that as an excuse for lack of licentiousness. He says, you're puffed up. That's what that pride does, puffed up rather than mourn. It's not so much mourning over someone else's sin, but there's a consciousness, even as we meet here, of our own sin. Who am I that I should partake? But I will tell you, it's not based on any worthiness in me or in you. It's on the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot partake of this bread and drink of this cup in memory of Christ without thinking about your own sin. Don't worry about your neighbor. Paul says, for I verily, as absent in the body, but present in truth, have judged already. This is not a tough case. As though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto Satan. You say, that sounds pretty serious. Well, that's what false profession is. If there's any that treat lightly the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and think that it matters not, and they've never truly been taught of Christ. So he says, deliver him unto Satan. In other words, turn him back over to him whose he is anyway. Just by his act and his deeds, he's proven he's not the Lord. Now, when you read 2 Corinthians, it appears that whatever was done as a body, the Lord didn't use it to bring this one to repentance. And Paul calls on him in 2 Corinthians to receive such a one. To deliver him unto Satan. It says for the destruction of the flesh, not for his soul. But that if he is truly the Lord's, that he recognized that he's in a false profession, that the Lord deal with him. Whether through sickness, or some trial, it's the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our one hope, regardless of where men are. If the Lord's in Christ has paid their sin debt, he'll draw them to himself. But with regard to the Lord's table, it's interesting that Paul uses this as a reason to teach the significance of what we're about here for the Lord's table. He says, your glorying is not good. In fact, no glorying is good when it involves ourselves or boasting. When I was growing up as a kid without any understanding of Christ, I'd see people partaking. I would think, man, I ought to be able to do that too. And I can never, I still remember the day that I was dunked. I'll put it that way. Made a profession when I was 15. And the one reason was I want to be able to partake. The Lord's table and taste that cup and eat that bread. And thought myself someone. Now I made it. There's some people that reason that. But your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Stop and think for a minute about leaven. This is unleavened bread. Not leaven. It's flat. Leaven causes bread to rise. This is flat. To represent the purity and sinlessness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that anything pertaining to Him be without mixture. See, even with celebrating the Lord's table, when you begin to add or take from the simplicity of it, and who it is and what it represents, you're adding leaven to it. Don't think your works have anything to do with it. Don't think your goodness. No. See, that's leaven. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Doesn't take much. And you don't see it. It's not visible. Told you that story about the first time I went down to the store when I was in college and wanted to bake some bread, and I saw they had a frozen dough right there all ready to go. All you have to do is take it out and put it in the oven and bake it. So I thought, oh man, that'd be easy. I didn't realize that you're supposed to let it thaw, and then when it rises, punch it and get it back down and then bake it. Once it thawed, I put it in the oven. I went and took a shower. I still remember when I came back, we had this little oven, and I'm looking down through the window, and I can't even see inside. When I opened the thing, the whole inside was filled with this bread. I've never seen such a monster bread. But the leaven inside, I didn't see the effect until it came out. And that's why even here, partaking of the Lord's table, it doesn't take much to have our eyes off of Christ. Onto ourselves and onto somebody else. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. Paul says, purge out therefore the old leaven. In other words, anything that has to do with this flesh or self, purge it out. May it not be. That ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Whatever it is, even in the body, that's what Paul's writing about. And later in 1 Corinthians 11, he says that. When you gather together, it's not for the Lord's table. But each one is bringing his own. Some are getting drunk. It doesn't have anything to do with glorifying Christ. That's why I love the simplicity of what the Lord has left us. Purge that all out. Here it is. For even Christ, our sacrifice, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's what this is about. Not that old Passover. But He's that Passover lamb of whom God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. How is it we're sanctified, justified? Except through the blood, righteous of the Lord. That's what we hold here. This is the picture Christ has left us. His body, perfect, his perfect obedience, and his blood. Shed blood unto death. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not according to the law, that's been done away, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What's the unleavened bread? That's Christ. And sincerity and truth. We're here to celebrate Him. That's why we partake in memory of Him. Precious Father, as we partake now of this bread, this cup, we pause, mindful of even why we're here, why we're partaking. We're nothing but sinners. Ourselves, we would be cast off. And I'm thankful that you purpose in your grace and mercy to save such sinners as we are. And now, our taking of this bread, this cup, is meaningful because it has to do with that one who came, the bread of heaven, the bread of life, and that seed sown in the ground and dying, and rising up and being cut down as a harvest. Put through the mill. Your wrath. That bread might be given to such as we are. Wretches will we be. And the cup representing shed blood of your dear Son. Oh, dear Father, may we never take this for granted. But as we even partake now, that it truly be in memory of Him. Him alone. To Him alone is the honor and glory. For that we give you the thanks and praise of your Son.